Hour number two, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Wednesday morning. We'll have Tim Hasselbeck, his weekly chat with us coming up at high noon. The tweet of the day, and we read this on the show and we had a good laugh, is our next guest, Sean Salisbury, who we always love catching up with down in Houston, does sports talk down there, 790 in Houston. And his tweet read, if Bill O'Brien, the coach, sees Bill O'Brien, the GM today, he should punch him in the face. Sean, thanks for the good laugh yesterday. that was fantastic. But we sat here in disbelief. When we first started seeing the rumors, we were like, no way. No way Hopkins is involved in this trade. No way. Well, yes way, because it happened. Yep. What has been the reaction down there? We could not believe it here.
Horrible, and great to be on with you guys. I appreciate it. Well, we know two teams in the division have gotten better, the Colts and you guys in Tennessee. And we know a general manager and a coach weakened a team. And, guys, I've tried to take, and I haven't been a player. Trust me, I made it look hard as a player, so I know how hard that is. I made it look hard. And I, being around coaches, it's not an easy job and general managers, but I've always said Bill had too much on his plate. And I've tried to defend some of the things to say, you know, it's easy for us fans to criticize from a distance, but there are some things that you just can't defend. And what we've heard today from Michael Irvin about the conversation with DeAndre Hopkins, if that is true, I'm not saying Mike's a liar, but if the conversation, if that did happen, then that's worthy of possible exit papers, considering all the other stuff that Bill's done. But that's for now, I can just tell you, for me, the reaction in this town is they're not fans of Bill O'Brien. He's the most despised person in this town, let alone coach in this city now. I'm just telling you, he has been for a while, and the trade for Hopkins set him off, because your job when you have a franchise quarterback or a good team, look, San Francisco, they're going to try to add offensive personnel for Jimmy. They're not taking away stuff from Pat. Derrick Henry's going to end up being there, and you sign Tannehill. But you add Phillip Rivers to go with, you know, T.Y. Hilton. You didn't trade T.Y. Hilton, so you get my point. Well, here, they have needs like defensive back, pass rusher. They lost D.J. Reader. And there's so many other weaknesses. They don't have a first-round pick and haven't had one and aren't going to have one for a while. And then they took away their best player. Now, Watson, because he's the quarterback, is the most important and will be the best eventually. But their most consistent best player. And if he ain't first, he ain't third when it comes to wide receivers in the league. Michael Thomas, him, Julio Jones. They gave him away for an apple and a roadmap. An aging running back who, it's not his fault. I like David Johnson. And a second-round pick that I said that I'll walk to Washington, D.C., because I was on a D.C. show. If they draft a wide receiver in the second round and that wide receiver has a better career than Hopkins, I'll walk to D.C. and raise money for charity. Point being is, this is legalized theft. You took away from a good team. I mean, it's almost like you're begging to get fired with all the power. But this goes far deeper, guys, than just money. He and Hopkins do not have a good relationship. And Bill O'Brien does what you cannot do as a general manager. React by emotion. That's why the guy in New England's been so good for so long. Bill O'Brien may not be fit for both jobs, let alone one right now, and this city is beside themselves over this trade.
Sean, we've referenced your interview with us. I mean, I know we talked to you through in last season before the games against Houston, and we remember you coming on and talking about how Bill O'Brien is, how the fans don't like him, and we're sitting here going, look, we don't deal with him. We have no idea what Bill O'Brien is like here in Nashville, but all the guy does is keep winning divisions, and they keep going to the playoffs. And it was interesting to know what the pulse was in Houston, but yet then we've laughed. It's like, well, Sean tells us they're ready to get rid of Bill O'Brien, and yet all he keeps getting is promotions.
Yep. Well, and that goes with an owner in Cal McNair, who I think is afraid of Bill O'Brien. And I'm being honest with that. Guys, I've said the same thing. I said, why would it, when I moved here 7 years ago, and then he got the job, you know, a couple years after, you know, right when Gary Kubiak had left, it's like, well, why don't they like Bill? And he wins. The problem is, there as teams that feel like they have a franchise quarterback now, and you guys have a championship team, you know, with an opportunity to win it last year, getting there is no longer good enough. It's getting there and getting deep into the playoffs, or having a 24-0 lead and not giving it up to the eventual Super Bowl champion, or losing in the first round of the playoffs, or calling a timeout when you shouldn't, or going forward on fourth and or not going forward. Okay, all those things that add up. And you know how fans are. They're smart, but sometimes they get emotional, and I don't blame them. But, guys, I'm telling you, they got to the playoffs this year, and you wouldn't have found 10 people in this city that endorsed him. After the first playoff win, you're not finding 10 people that endorse him. And I said, guys, it's hard to win in this league. Cherish these. But then you say, well, the power-hungry struggle, the Clowney out, the letting Matthew go, the constant abrasive approach during the media, which I can deal with. I don't care. But fans, it's just always something. And then this happens where you give away your best football player, which Bill's not getting laughed with. He's getting laughed at. This is almost one of those where the commissioner would look at it and say, this doesn't look right. That's that type of trade. So, and the guys, when I'm telling you that they want him out more than you can. I'm going to tell you this. If you stuck A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luno and Bill O'Brien together and to yesterday, tomorrow, or 3 weeks ago and said, which one do you want out first? A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luno would not get one vote.
Oh, my gosh.
It would be, as I am standing here today, A.J. Hinch is held in 1,000 times higher regard by the fans and in this town than Bill O'Brien is. And now you may lose your quarterback's endorsed here. Then you saw his tweet yesterday, which wasn't favorable because he and Hopkins are tight and former Clemson guys. And
Sean.
If you lose the quarterback, you're in trouble.
Well, that's where we were going next for sure. We'd love your perspective on that because I did see what was the, I guess it was the from the agent from
right.
So where do they maybe? So let's start by, if you can, passing along to what is the situation with Hopkins? I'm sorry, with Deshaun Watson in terms of what's the strategy to try to get him re-signed? Obviously, he's not liking what he sees here, but where do they go from here?
Well, you know, they got him. You're going to have to pay Tunsil first, right, because his contract. But what we're coming up on is, you know, Prescott's going to get his eventually, and then it's going to Watson will eventually get his, and he'll either wait for Mahomes or Mahomes will wait for him, and Mahomes will end up making $200 million, and Watson will be in the 150 to 100. It's just the way it's going to be, guys, $40 million a year type of thing, because that's the way the salary cap works. He's always been a public endorser of Bill O'Brien. He has. He's always, and he's a class kid who's high football IQ, smart guy, classy guy. People in town love Watson. He's always been public endorser. But when you start removing things, that, you guys know this, the windows don't stay open long. The Patriots are the aberration. The rest of it is it's open, it closes, you try to open it to win a championship. And Watson's a championship caliber player. If the stuff that's true and Bill doesn't get in the constant, not get lost in the locker room, when you lose your superstar quarterback, if I was him, I'd walk in there right now and say, well, you don't even discuss it with me. If you're going to take my players away and you're not going to be able to deal with players, see, Bill's a power-hungry narcissist that, quite frankly, unfortunately, that egos bring down companies, marriages, and football franchises as well, that Bill is going to make sure it's his way or no way. And while you can't do anything because Watson's the star of this team, if I was Deshaun Watson looking at it right now, if this were to stay the same, do not be surprised if Deshaun Watson entertains the fact that I'm not sticking around here. Now you got franchise tags and all that, but he's endorsed him. I think the endorsement will be a little bit lighter after what you saw with Hopkins and the way it's going. But Deshaun's taking the high road. We'll find out how long he can stay on the high road with this, and it's going to cost them a lot of money.
You mentioned Jadeveon Clowney. Of course, they moved on from him. They traded him. He's out there right now. There's a lot of talk, especially now in the wake of just minutes ago, the Titans trading Jarrell Casey.
Yep.
There might be some interest there. So assess his value in your mind right now, Sean. If you were a prospective signer or interest with Jadeveon Clowney, would you recommend that team go after him?
He's probably going to overprice himself. I think that the Seahawks stole him from the Texans. I do. I mean, I thought about that, which it seems to be a normal occurrence here. It seems like every time we deal in a trade, oh, they stole him too. Oh, you let Tyrann Mathieu walk and then go be the Chiefs team MVP this year is voted on by the players. So with Clowney, what you're going to get is when he wants to play every down, he can be as disruptive as we have in the league. Now, that if at sometimes is like, well, is he going to practice hard? He's started to overcome the early on the health where people thought, well, is he durable enough? I'll tell you what's underrated. He's a great run defender. He's long. You're going to double-team him a lot just because he's Jadeveon Clowney. And when you look at the stat sack numbers, people, you know, we give people, we pay him on stats a lot. It's your quarterback and running back and pass rusher. If you don't have 18 sacks, well, you're not a good pass rusher. But he's disruptive. And the key for him is get comfortable and be disruptive more often than not. It's not, I shouldn't have to fire you up to play. So is he worth signing? Hell yes. Is he, should he be paid Khalil Mack money? Absolutely not. But he's I don't think he's ever going to get 20 sacks. But if he decided he wants to take over a game, he's got that ability and he's long. But he's a very underrated run stopper. But he is one of those guys that if he said, you know, this year I'm going to get 15, I believe he could. But I think only one time, guys, in his career, he's had double-digit sacks, like 10 or 10 and a half. He's never been a big sack guy, but he is a disruptor in the backfield and good against the run. If it's for the right price, it would probably serve the Texans and Bill O'Brien well to say, oh, great, he's either a Titan or a Colt in the division. But I can tell you this, he will make your defense better. Just his simple presence on the field makes offensive coaches and players a little bit nervous.
Sean Salisbury is with us. So staying on that for a second, what was his relationship like with Mike Vrabel, who obviously is very hands-on with the defense and looks to be the defensive coordinator and the head coach with the Titans? What was their relationship like in Houston?
Great question. For all it was that the only that it wasn't there was. I never heard anybody say Mike didn't like him or he didn't like Mike. And more importantly, there comes a respect. Now, here's the one thing that we all know about Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel played every play. Mike Vrabel didn't take plays off Mike as a player, and he expects his team to do the same thing. So when Mike had him a little bit and he was here, you know, there were some injuries and some, well, he wasn't practicing and missed some games. So I deep down in places that sometimes people don't talk about, because you'll hear a coach say one thing, guys, I only talk about the players that are on my team, but if they do get him, I know from all indications when Mike was here, that they loved his ability. The question is, does he fit what, not only defensively what Mike wants to do, but more importantly, does he fit Mike's work ethic? Will he play every play? Does he come highly regarded? Mike saw him every day, so Mike would know better. But I never heard that Vrabel can't stand him or that, you know, that Clowney doesn't like Mike. The truth of the matter is, if Mike saw what he needed to see and knows that he can be disruptive, I'm sure Clowney can adjust to Mike, and he did. But, you know, Mike was there when Clowney was here. I don't know if Mike ever saw him at his best on a daily basis, but he saw flashes of greatness with Clowney. But I don't know deep down in public or private what Mike would say. Is he my kind of guy or not? But if there's interest, if he brings him in, that will tell you that Mike Vrabel, not Mike Vrabel, that the stuff we're talking about, that Mike thinks he can take Jadeveon Clowney to another level. And that'll be the factor, because he's seen him both at his best and at his worst.
Sean, what do you think about the Phillip Rivers signing or reported signing with the Colts? Is that the right move for them?
Well, I've been saying on my show, if you're going to go after the aging veteran that's still good, I would have gone all in on Brady if I was the Colts. Because the truth, as much as I love Phillip Rivers, and he is an upgrade, guys, and he makes them an instant threat without question in the division. I'll tell you why just real quick in a second. But I would have, if you were saying all things being equal, Brady or Rivers, Brady's the better player right now. But with that said, Frank Reich's relationships, you know, Phillip has got, and people ask me, I got asked this morning, what's his best asset? Is it T.Y. Hilton? Can he push the ball down the field enough anymore? His best asset is now he gets to set his feet. He had no offensive line last year for the most part in LA/San Diego, but the LA Chargers. Now he's going to a team that protects the quarterback, will let him set a seat. He no longer has the ability for the most part consistently to be off balance and, you know, with that weird throwing motion and make throws that he could have made 3 years ago. Now he's got to be able to set his feet and drive his legs through the throw. He'll have that opportunity because they will protect the quarterback. So that's his best asset. He will find a way. He throws the dig route and the curl route and the flat route and all that comeback just fine. He's got plenty left in the tank. As much as I respect Jacoby Brissett, This is an upgrade, and it makes the Colts far more dangerous than they were. And you guys know about his competitiveness, his toughness, and the fact that I think he believes, put it this way, his team right now, considering the offensive line, may be better than the team he just left. I mean, even though the weapons are probably better with the Chargers, the all-around roster, I think, and now that they've got Buckner, I think the Indianapolis Colts all-around roster for Phillip Rivers at this time in his career is better. Yes, all of us teams in the South are going to have to take notice. Phillip Rivers is tough and durable as well.
Sean, last thing real quick. I just wanted to get your reaction on Michael Irvin checking in with DeAndre Hopkins, I guess, a couple times in the last 24 hours. What do you make of what he's put out there about O'Brien and Hopkins, and I guess clearly they didn't see eye to eye?
Right, and I've known Mike a long time. I have no reason to believe that Mike is not telling the truth about this, and Mike's an emotional guy, and he stays in touch, and, you know, the receivers is a fraternity, man. They do, and if Hop told him this and all of what's said is right, I cannot fathom, and nor can I have Frank Martin on, the coach of South Carolina basketball, today, and I asked him, he goes, that sure wouldn't be my approach, you know, and coaches take a very, very, you know, they're very conservative in their approach criticizing other coaches. If he brought up Aaron Hernandez's name in the same sentence and started criticizing about baby mamas, as long as DeAndre Hopkins, who's never been a distraction in this city or with the law, is obeying the team rules and living right, it's none of Bill O'Brien's business about baby mamas and DeFrays and talking about Aaron Hernandez. If he did do that, and that's validated, and that is what he said, then there's an exit sign with a let me see you out the door. If the owner has the balls to do it, and he hasn't had the balls to criticize Bill O'Brien one time. So if that was said, there's part of the reason why DeAndre Hopkins, I don't blame him for leaving, but if Bill used those terms and mentioned DeAndre Hopkins in the same sentence as Aaron Hernandez, then Bill O'Brien has just validated what everybody thought about him. He does not know how to handle individuals or a football team, and there could be a little bit more heat to this as the days go on. It's absurd and it's heinous if that was the case.
Be careful. He may be the president and CEO of the organization next year. Maybe raisin store.
Guess what? He might own the team if this keeps up. Careful now. That's right.
He may buy the radio station you're at. Be careful, Sean.
And if he does, guess what? I'll be flying to Tennessee to work with you guys.
We welcome that. Hey, be safe down in Houston. Always good to catch up with you.
Yeah, my best to you guys and your families, too. We'll get back to normal soon, but you guys be safe as well. Thank you for having me on.
Hope so. Thanks, Sean. Sean Salisbury does Sports Talk down in Houston, 790. Always good conversations with him. We'll come back. There's another quarterback. The Broncos have made another move. We'll tell you what's on the other side. It involves a quarterback. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, very interesting perspective from Sean Salisbury, in particular on what he thinks the value of Jadeveon Clowney is. And you brought this up earlier, Chase. Mike Vrabel's familiarity with Clowney.
Yeah.
Right? You have a guy that has observed the practice habits, the day-to-day habits of an extremely talented player in Clowney.
So he's very hands-on, and he's been hands-on.
Sure,
with him.
Sure. So the question is Mike Vrabel going to a John Robinson and saying, I can get the most out of this guy. I know how to push his buttons. I can be the guy that can get the level of production we would need from that investment. It's a fair question to ask. I don't know the answer to it. And the answer could be the opposite, right? Hey, I know Jadeveon Clowney. Don't go past X amount of dollars. I'd love to have him at this price, because that's what it comes down to, right? If the Titans announce we've signed Clowney to a one-year, $5 million deal, we'd all say, oh, wow, great idea. But as Sean pointed out, his dollar value is going to be high. Somebody will probably overpay on the gamble that they can get the most because he is such a unique talent.
So I saw a tweet that said the Titans are now, I think they have the 11th most cap room of any team. I think they have about $33 million after the Jarrell Casey, or $37 million, I should say, after the Jarrell Casey move. So you have to wonder. Usually set aside, Teron Calvin and I were talking about this last night, usually set aside about $8 million for your draft picks. So what's next? I mean, they're not clearing this space just for nothing. Is it Clowney? Is it Logan Ryan? Is it somebody else? I've seen Alan Bell put out there, Dante Fowler should be a consideration. So, I mean, what do we actually think the next move is? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
You know, I don't know. I will say this. I'm a little surprised Logan Ryan hasn't signed somewhere. Or, you know, I know it doesn't officially start until later today, but there hasn't been any news.
Here's the report.
He's
agreed to terms.
Literally nothing on
Logan Ryan. That kind of makes me wonder that if that's not out there, does that mean that there has been a serious discussion with the Titans and John could have said, like, hey, can you give me a minute?
Can we see if we can work it out? And then, but I don't know. I mean, if you're Logan Ryan, I mean, I don't know. It's his agent's job to go get him the most money.
Yeah,
right?
but I do think there is a sense of if John is because we don't know how honest and or not honest, but how forthcoming John is being on his plans. But if he's like, hey, listen, we really want to bring him back. Can you let me make a move and move some money around, and then we can get this done? Can you just give me, you know, we're good. We're going to do this. Can you just give me a little bit? And Logan may want to be here so bad that and stay here that he's like, yeah, sure. And he's willing to wait. I don't know. I'm just speculating, but that very well could be a part of it. Or Logan Ryan may just, you know, be trying to figure out what he's going to do and may not even be in the cards for the Titans. I mean, we're all speculating right now because we're so surprised by this move.
This is what we know right now to this point. When everybody's like, you know, we've even kind of joked in here, did anybody see this coming with Jarrell Casey? No. But does anybody ever see anything coming with the Titans?
No.
On John Robinson's watch? Think about that.
He's pretty good at keeping the cards close.
You tell me. Anybody see the DeMarco Murray coming? How many people called that?
Nope.
No. Nobody saw that coming. Anybody
I don't remember
see,
that.
How many people saw DGB for Dennis Kelly coming? I don't remember the predictions of all the people who said, watch out, Philadelphia and the Titans about to make another deal.
What was funny about the DeMarco Murray thing?
How many people stand up if you had Ryan Tannehill? If you called that one,
great point.
As much as I was screaming for a backup quarterback, I wasn't calling that he was going to make a trade with Miami for Ryan Tannehill. The point is, they're close to the vest. I mean, nobody really has any idea.
Yeah, no, and I'm okay with that. I mean, I know for our purposes, it's kind of nice to know what's going on, but I'm okay with that because John's doing his job. I mean, it's very Belichickian. Like, nobody's going to know. If anything comes out of that organization, it's because he has allowed it to come out.
Right. I think as you point these out, Darren, you also say that he's been here long enough to where not only are you saying he keeps it close to the vest, there's expect the unexpected some, but the moves he has made, he's had his fair share of success. Now, has he hit on everything? No GM does. But I think by and large, he's grown the roster well. He's managed the salary cap pretty well. This is really the first offseason that they have had salary cap concerns because the roster has grown. The roster is better. They have more good players. So they have those tough choices that we used to have Floyd Reese and for a time Jeff Diamond having to make, right? Those difficult choices that they had to make to maintain the window. Now the Titans are in a window, right? They're where they want to be. Even though you can say, well, they've never gotten past 9-7, but we know with the momentum they had at the end of the season, they feel like they're in a window. This is the time to win.
Well,
so you got to make now the stakes are even higher and the choices are even tougher, I think. But the groundwork that he's laid, I think has given him a lot of credibility to make these decisions. And you see with the move like Casey, that this is a different type of decision that he's not had to make before, right? Clearing salary cap space and moving a really good and respected player to do so.
Yeah, I mean, look, to keep the window open and to, you know, try and get past the AFC title game, I mean, you can't go into the draft with $37 million in cap room. I mean, that just shows it's an incomplete roster and you're going to rely heavily on the draft to fill the holes, and I don't like that strategy. Now, I think there's a lot of talent in this draft. Don't get me wrong, but you're not going to be able to fill every need that you have. They've already added pass rush and Vic Beasley, but now they've given away, you know, a monster in the middle in Jarrell Casey, and they were using Casey in different spots. So you have to replace that production somewhere, whether it's Clowney or Fowler or someone else. You know, there could be a trade in the works that we don't know about. But I just don't feel like John Robinson is just going to sit there and go, no, I'm just clearing cap space. I mean, I'm just, you know, we're going to be up against it. I just want to get rid of some of these big contracts. I really don't think that is the case. I would be very, very surprised if that were the case.
The Broncos have also made another move.
Yep.
They've moved on.
They
are one Joe Flacco.
Yep.
So, on the other side, just ponder it during the break. We've been talking the last couple of days this week. Who's Ryan Tannehill's backup? I know we hear they like Logan Woodside, but is that really the guy? If Tannehill misses four games next year, four consecutive games, Logan Woodside, you feel good? I don't know. Or do you go out and get a guy like Joe Flacco, or do you think Joe Flacco is done? We'll discuss it on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ian Rapoport has been a busy man so far on the NFL Network. Latest is the Broncos are likely to release Joe Flacco. I think everybody, I would suspect everybody believes that Joe Flacco is now just a backup quarterback in the league. Right? We all agree with that?
Yep.
I mean, I don't know if Joe Flacco believes that, but I think everybody suspects he's just a backup to this point in his career. For the right price, is that a guy that John Robinson should be looking at? A veteran guy behind Tannehill? Or do you think that it's smarter to kind of have the Mariota Tannehill where they're similar types? Because obviously Tannehill and Flacco are not similar types. But let's be honest.
You're going mobile to statue.
But let's be honest. Blaine Gabbert and Matt Cassel were mobile to statues.
Well, here's another thing you gotta factor in, and this is no disrespect to Dennis Kelly, but now you're asking Dennis Kelly to go, at least right now, you're asking him to go from being the Swiss Army knife, the great backup, the guy that you can rely on to the everyday guy, at least in the time being. He is the everyday right tackle, and so you want to see what that looks like. It's going to look different than Jack Conklin, for sure, even though there's familiarity with the offensive line. So do you, even though you hope that Joe Flacco is just here and a good locker room guy and he never sees the field outside of the preseason, do you want to put a statue quarterback in with an offensive line that, even though you know the personnel, they've taken a hit with the loss of Jack Conklin? You got to think about that,
yeah,
too.
What do you guys think the market value will be for Joe Flacco? Let's say...
Well, I need to see what Mariota got.
Well, let's say, for argument's sake,
why aren't those terms being?
Well, because nothing can be official until.
Yeah, but you see terms.
You're seeing
anyway.
Everybody's releasing stories with terms.
So I guess it's up to the particular agents and source gatherers to be able to ascertain that. But let's say, for argument's sake, that the summer goes by and the phone doesn't ring for Joe Flacco. Hey, we want you to be our starter.
He's 35.
35, because you could be entering into a very productive window in your career if you're Joe Flacco. It's kind of like the pitcher, and I'll use, I mean, it's hard to make the comparison, but there are pitchers that their time as a starter is over, but they enter into a period where, as a middle reliever, or in some small cases, like Dennis Eckersley, you revive your career by being a closer, right? But you can still get it done for a couple innings. I think there are some quarterbacks, you look back through the years, you hang around as the backup for a long time if you're willing to be the backup.
Yeah.
And that's really the question, right? So then the question is, what's the cost for Joe Flacco? What's the market value? The Titans would probably love to have him at the right price.
Well,
would they?
I don't know.
Like, well, wouldn't
I would
you?
Think so. Yeah.
If
right
he's
price.
Willing to say, and Chase, I don't know if you're willing to share
Well,
what you said. But
I talked to somebody that we all know that would know Joe Flacco better than anybody. Okay. We'll just put that out there.
Leave it at that.
And I said, do you think that he would be that you would bring him in to be the backup to Tannehill? And he said, yes, but only if Joe understands what it is and doesn't put up a fuss and knows he's going to that he is here to be the backup, that his days of starting are over. And I think you could put a comparison to that would be when Kerry Collins left here and went to the Colts.
Right.
And I know he started one some, but you know Matt Hasselbeck's another one.
I'll give you one here that happened in the early days. Dave Craig. Dave Craig was probably around that same age. And he came in and they told him. Because that's the reason that they got rid of Chris Chandler.
Yep.
Right? Because Chris Chandler was not at that phase of his career. He tried to make it very hard on a young Steve McNair. And basically said, I'm the starter. I'm not giving up my spot. And Chandler was right to think that he could still be productive because he led the Falcons to the Super Bowl in 1999 after the Oilers moved on. But the Oilers brought in, the Tennessee Oilers, an aging Dave Craig, and they said, Steve McNair is going to be the starter. He's ready. You're here. You're the backup. And he took to that role. And I want to say he played.
Neil O'Donnell took to that role.
Neil O'Donnell had to play.
But
Neil, just like Flacco,
thank goodness they had him.
Got rewarded after taking his team to the Super Bowl. With I believe at the time when the Jets paid Neil, he was the highest paid quarterback in the league. So he was a guy just like Flacco that had taken his team to a Super Bowl. Flacco won it. Neil lost with Pittsburgh. Got paid big. Had been a starter his whole career. But when he came here, he was a backup.
Right. Yeah. Look,
O'Donnell's a great example. That's the perfect. But what did it cost to get Neil O'Donnell back then? I don't remember.
Floyd would know.
I'm sure we can look it up.
To make the adjustment of what the cap was. It's just, you know, how much money are you budgeting to get a guy like that if that guy is out there?
Let me ask this, though, because I think this is – whenever Neil O'Donnell was here as the backup to McNair and you knew that he had to play, I know at least for me, I was like, okay, they're good. They're not going to miss a beat because Neil, you could just plug him right in. And he was, you know, he won games. Do you still feel that way about Joe Flacco? And I know the whole rule of thumb with a backup quarterback is you can get 2 to 3 games, that they can give you 2 or 3 games if you need it. Do you still think that Joe Flacco can do that?
Or are you just having I think so.
I don't know.
Well, who would you rather have, him or Logan Woodside, right? The question is easy. The answer is
easy. To me, that is easy. But the guy I wanted, what's different
is how much are you willing to pay to make that happen? Because Logan Woodside costs the absolute minimum.
Right.
Right. He's the league minimum. Doesn't cost you anything. You could have 3 Logan Woodsides sitting there if you wanted, but they wouldn't come close to what it would cost to get Joe Flacco.
I guess the answer for me, Chase, is tell me the other options. Not Logan Woodson.
Well, that's what I'm about to do.
So what's proven guys in the league? What are other options? Because that also contributes to what you would have to pay for the ultimate. If Joe Flacco is the only quarterback on the street,
all right, here's
then
what
he's going to get some good money.
What is Case Keenum getting in Cleveland? Do we know?
Well, we told you what Chase Daniel is getting. Right? Yeah, Chase Daniel's not. And he got $4 million.
I would take Flacco over Daniel.
Of course you would.
Yeah.
Case Keenum.
Do we know what he got in Cleveland?
Pulling up. I'm seeing $6 million average salary.
Okay. Chase Daniel got 4, right?
Three years, $13 million.
Just over 4.
I don't know how much of that's guaranteed. This is what you have available. Jameis Winston, he's going somewhere else. So
Flacco right in the middle of that? 5?
Probably. Because Drew Stanton, Colt McCoy, Josh McCown, Trevor Siemian, Mike Glennon, Brett Hundley, Blaine Gabbert, Matt Moore, Joe Webb, Blake Bortles, Sean Mannion, Geno Smith, David Fales, Kyle Sloter, who the hell is that, Brandon Allen, Matt Sims, Josh Woodrum, who the hell is that?
Those guys are exactly where they were before Tannehill. That's the pile over there in the corner.
Okay, so
the story.
Josh McCown is 65, and I would take him over most of the people on this list.
Yes.
Now, Colt McCoy has been a pretty good backup.
Most of these guys you would call replacement level, right? Replacement level would be the baseline.
Matt Moore.
Right? Like, you and I would be well below replacement level. These guys have proven to be, okay, this is the baseline, so you wouldn't pay anything extra to get these guys, which is why it was so intriguing to me that Chase Daniel was valued. Now, this is the Lions we're talking about. They haven't always made the greatest decisions, right? Maybe did they overpay a little bit for Chase Daniel? I don't know, but they thought he was worthy. Now, it's probably not guaranteed beyond this coming year, but even so, he's got to be – he's getting paid substantially to be the backup.
It's hard for a guy who's been in the league 9-10 years to get less than – at a quarterback position to get less than $4 million a year.
Right.
Right. I mean, even if you're just a guy like Chase Daniel who's been just a clipboard holder. So my thought,
and that's what
career.
You hope that you're going to need.
Sure, but you can't do that. I mean, because look, it cost him.
Yeah.
Okay, it costs him. And I'm not saying the backup goes out and beats the Colts, but when they needed the backup, when the quarterback couldn't go in the biggest game of the year, their backup went out there and he looked like a backup. Mm-hmm. And they had no chance against Indy. And like I said, I'm not saying that the backup for sure wins that game. If it's somebody else, I'm saying you have to feel like we all knew, right? Once it got out, no Mariota, we were like, yep, that's going to do it. Thanks for playing. Congratulations, Colts. You just punched your ticket into the playoffs. Everybody knew they weren't going to win that game. And they already had a bunch of other injuries. But you knew they weren't going to beat the Colts. And,
right.
And, of course, they were never in danger of that happening. So you want to feel like a clipboard holder is just somebody that's – you. If you are someone who has Phillip Rivers, like Indianapolis, now, once they get older, it's different, right? But if a guy's proven for the last 14 seasons he never misses a game, like, does it really matter? Like, at some point, I'm sure the Chargers were like, who cares? Like, really? Like, we know Phillip Rivers is going to play the whole year.
Yeah,
never
but they
misses.
Had a pretty darn good backup.
They did.
Teron right. Taylor is pretty good.
Yeah. So why did they even care? They shouldn't have cared. Indianapolis for all those years shouldn't have cared because you knew Peyton was going to play every game.
Yeah, I used to joke.
Like, you can't say that with Tannehill, right? There's no way.
Sure.
I get it. He came in and played 10 games and played 3 playoff games. But the rap on Tannehill, on why they got him, is what? He was hurt all the time in Miami. So to me, you can't just have a guy, a warm body. Like, they need a good backup just in case.
Yeah, I used to joke that the greatest job in the world was held by Jim Sorgi, because Jim Sorgi never sniffed the field outside of preseason and held a clipboard, and he made like
$3.5 million a year. Practice field. Peyton wouldn't even let him practice.
Yeah, I mean, and he made what, $2.5-3 million a year?
Made a good living. He is. If he did well with his money, he's set for life, and
I think he's the color analyst for Colts Radio.
I don't know if he ever got touched.
Yeah. Because he never played. I mean, that's what you hope.
It's your insurance policy. How much are you willing to pay for your insurance policy on your starting
quarterback? Would you pay $5 million for Joe Flacco this year?
In a bubble, yes. But it's got to be in the context of everything else you want to do to build. Because the mode is, we're trying to win the Super Bowl this year. We think we have a team that can win the Super Bowl. So if I have the luxury of paying extra for the backup in the case that my starter is going to miss 3 games somewhere in there. Because let's be honest, there's not a whole lot of teams that could lose their quarterback for the season or even 3/4 of the season and survive, right? Usually if that happens, you're sunk no matter
what. Right.
But can you have a guy that can get you through and be worth a couple of wins in that situation? I think that's your goal, and that's worth as much money as you have lying around. But you don't have. We were just talking about. They just cleared cap space so they can do whatever they want to do. There's a lot that they want to do here.
Sure,
right?
And here's the other part of this too. I think that you can wait, see where the quarterback carousel takes the NFL, because we know Brady's going, and we haven't really talked about this much, but Brady appears to be going to Tampa. So Brady's there. There's one move. Okay, what does that mean for Jameis Winston? L.A. They're still on the outside looking in. Are they going to just ride, Tyrod Taylor? Which they could do a lot worse, but, what do they do there? Does Jameis go there? Does Cam go there? I think Cam would be a good fit with the Chargers.
Although you're starting to see Cam to Chicago rumors.
Ooh. Chicago is in the mix. New England's got to find a quarterback. Is that going to be Stidham? Is that going to be Dalton? Is that going to be somebody else? So I think, and as we said when we were talking about free agency before it even opened, that you also have to consider that some of these quarterbacks are going to get lost in the shuffle and not have a home. Well, then all of a sudden, what if Jameis Winston is sitting out there and he doesn't have a home, and you say, hey, if you're cool being a backup for a year, here's $5 million. And if it's me, I'd rather pay $5 million to Jameis Winston than than Joe Flacco. But that's something to consider. And, oh, by the way, the draft has to happen too. So some of these quarterbacks that probably could start are going to be left out in the cold without a job.
But see, if you're trying to win, you don't draft your backup. That almost never happens.
I agree.
You can't draft your backup.
I agree.
You're developing somebody who could become a backup or a starter. There's really not an in-between role there. You can draft a backup offensive lineman or a backup linebacker.
I agree. We'll come back, wrap up the second hour next.
Yossi, just checking in. We're practicing our social distancing at home, spending a lot of time with our furry friends, as you can see. Just hope everyone is safe out there. Take care of each other. Please listen to our doctors. Practice as much social distancing as you can. I know this is a difficult time, but we're all in this together. And yeah, do as much as you can and stay at home as much as you can. Also want to thank all our doctors, nurses, grocery store workers, first responders, police officers, everybody that's still out there trying to keep everyone safe. You guys are the real heroes. And I hope I see you guys soon at Bridgestone. But till then, take care of each other and please be safe.
Well, we asked, what's the captain, Roman Josi, doing? Well,
there you have it.
The Predators put out a video about an
hanging
hour
out
ago.
With his dog.
Hanging out with his dogs, plural. You just heard him. Growling. Like, back off.
You know what? He said something that we probably haven't said enough, and that is to thank all of the people on the front lines, right? The ones that, you know, are going to continue to be out there out of necessity. Especially the medical workers, right? Which is, you know, think of them with everything you do.
I have a lot of friends in the medical field, and they're
all concerned.
They're all concerned, man.
And they all are going to do what they need to do, but
they're
very vulnerable.
Seeing cases all over the country of, you know, nurses and people in hospitals that are being affected. They're testing positive. And so, yeah, they're concerned. I mean, think about it. They're in it every single day. So keep them in your thoughts.
No question. So, and just think about everything you do, right, affects them. Because that's the whole idea of why we're doing this, is so they don't get overrun any more than they're going to already. And they know it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. But this is why we have to do what we've been, in some cases, only recommended to do. The recommendation is a strong, I mean, it really needs to be more, but let's really listen. Let's focus in.
Well, I saw something last night, and I think it's fair. It's more than fair, just kind of what we're talking about. And I don't know who put this out there. I don't know if this was in the state of Tennessee or if this was in our country, that if you're not feeling well, like you feel like something's going on, to contact your doctor's office and find out what they want you to do.
Right.
Maybe they meet you outside. Basically what they're saying is, please just don't pile into the doctor's office.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody just hanging out in the lobby and nobody's feeling well. It's just, so they're trying to, you know, and once again, it goes back to, and the doctors are trying to keep their staff safe. And so, you
right.
know.
And if you look at any news station, one of the big themes is trying to expand our capability.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of it too. But in the meantime, we've got to do people, we got to do our job, right? It's the Bill Belichick, do your job. Our job is to stay safe, stay separate. Do what you can to slow the spread, flatten that curve, because everybody is affected.
So we wanted to play that because we told you Craig Smith has been painting. So Craig, Crazy Legs, can do it all. I mean, he's got a man of many talents. We told you that Matthias Ekholm and Ida and their son were out in the neighborhood on rollerblades and pushing the stroller. And so we were like, what's the captain doing? What's Roman Josi doing? Well, the Predators just tweeted out what he's doing. There you go. He's at his home practicing social distance with his dogs and his wife. So there you go. By the way, if you watch the video, my male German Shepherd, which ironically his name is Roman, He's just like the dog that you heard the growl. Like he, you could tell, like whatever dog that was, he's jealous because Roman was petting the other one. And that's like Roman, the German Shepherd I have at home, he doesn't growl. He just like pushes.
Oh,
he pushes,
man,
the female out of the way.
I
he
have,
just like, you know, like, hey,
thing in our
hey,
house.
Wait, oh, wait a minute. Pet me. Don't pet her.
That's exactly what.
Like, he doesn't growl. Like, they love each other. They get along great, but he is very jealous.
They don't
share. He wants all the attention.
That's weird. My house is the same way. We have two dogs. The female dog, bigger, stronger.
The female dog's bigger, stronger.
Oh, yeah. Different kind of dog.
Different breeds. Okay.
So she just pushes the other dog around. Says, as soon as the little guy tries to get some attention, she's coming in there. Setting the screen, boxing out.
Yep. That's what he does.
Yep.
I have two German Shepherds, one male and one female, and he's just a lot bigger than her. And he just, like, they lay together. They're always together. But he does not like someone giving her attention. He's just going to say, hey, what about me? Come right out. If he's in the other room and he just gets the sense that you're petting the female, he's coming in there, man. Like, hey, whoa, hey,
yeah,
wait
yeah,
a
what,
minute.
What's going on here?
My head itches.
What? So you only have one. So you.
Yeah, but there. See, at mom's, there are cats, and he gets along with them. And if, you know, one of the cats jumps up and wants attention, he is over there just headbutting them out of the way.
Well, he's bigger than about 14. Well, 14. He's bigger than about 24 cats.
Oh, yeah. He's like, no. And get out of here. By the way, there is a bracket
that
we are going to be discussing at some point today. I have just printed some.
Are you, like, it's not, and I know ESPN didn't put this out. I think it was
Barrett Sports Media, if we're thinking of the same one.
Yes.
But I am here for this, and I love this, and I want to talk about it and fill it out, and I'm going to, and it's fine.
But don't you feel bad, like, if you have to go up against some of the number one seeds?
Yeah.
Like, they're going to get dusted.
Yes. But I love the region names.
Yeah. Yes.
So we'll,
and you know who's going to win. I'm just saying right now, I know who's going to win.
You know who's going to win?
Yeah, I do. I can tell you right now who's going to win.
Okay. We'll discuss that after.
We'll get into that a little bit later. In fact,
we can ask Tim about
it. Tim, we can ask him to weigh in if he's seen this. All right, we'll come back. Kick off the third hour with Tim Hasselbeck, our weekly chat with him next.